This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line this morning. Zane Cantrell is with us from the Rutherford County Beekeepers. Zane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing today?
Doing fine.
Great.
Everybody's sneezing and doing all sorts of things this year. We got a lot of pollen.
There's a lot of pollen out there, especially this time of the year. There's a lot of nectar out there this time of the year. So for those of us that are beekeepers, it is one of the highlights of the year that we really could look forward to.
And more people are wanting to become beekeepers. I mean, this is a growing, I don't know whether to call it a hobby or a trade or what.
Yeah. Well, what we're looking at is that folks are really getting interested in it. They find that it's really a great hobby to get into. I consider myself a hobbyist beekeeper, even though I've been keeping bees on and off most of my life. Grew up on a farm. We had, you know, every farmer back in those days, they had bees. They didn't have to do much with them, but they had bees there because they understood the rationale of pollination, and especially for the gardens that they planted and also the fruit trees. It was just a necessity that you had to have bees. So more and more people are looking at the possibility of doing that.
How do people learn more about beekeeping? I mean, they want to get into this, but they don't know where to start.
Well, that is a really good question, and I'm glad you brought this up. I always advised anyone who's interested in getting into beekeeping, first of all, come to one of our beekeeping meetings. We meet, the Rutherford County Beekeepers Association meets the first Monday of every month at 7 o'clock at the Lane Ag Center. So that's a good start. That gives you a good background, a lot of information, and it'll really tell you whether you really want to get into it. And it's not really inexpensive. So you've got to manage that in your budget as well. It's not tremendously expensive, but it's something that you're going to have to buy. You have to buy a lot of your supplies and get ready for it. So that kind of tells a person, if you start coming to our beekeeping meetings, exactly what you're going to have and what your needs are to become a beekeeper.
Our next first Monday is June the 3rd. I don't know where this year went. June the 3rd.
Yes.
June is here.
Yes.
Almost anyway. Yeah. 7 o'clock in the evening, is that right?
That's right, 7 o'clock.
And that's over at the Lane Agri Park.
We have a really good program, and we also have a chance for folks that are there, especially the first time, to ask questions that's related to what they want, and rather than just listening to a presentation. But they may have certain questions about getting into beekeeping that they'd like to get answers for. Plus, we meet after the presentation. We have a number of what I would call master beekeepers there that will be welcome to talk to any of the first-time people that meet there and first-time beekeepers to answer some of their questions and give them some ideas.
Hey, you mentioned it was expensive to get into, or could be a little costly. If you wanted to start with the bare necessities, what kind of investment does that take?
Well, you're looking at probably a couple of $100s. It's not too bad this day and time. You know, you go to the grocery store.
You spend that easy.
You spend that really easy. So, you know, a couple of $100 investment.
Does that get you bees with that?
No, you have to get your bees separate. Usually, you know, when I, a few years ago, and it hadn't been very long, that when I bought a package of bees, that it would cost me maybe $50. Now they're $150. So, and probably if you get them this late, it's going to be $175. So you can, that's a separate expenditure. But it's really too late right now. If you were going to buy bees, you needed to have put your order in a couple of months ago. And that brings up something else now. This is also, when you're talking about bees, Bart, this is the swarm season. And a lot of people don't realize it. April and May are the big time swarm season. In other words, if I've got 10 hives out here, well, those bees are thinking, we've got to split up and make 20 hives. So they start swarming out of there. Half of them swarm out, half of them stay there. The half that swarm out have a queen with them, and it's part of their nature to expand the bees that we have. So that's just part of what they do. And you need to be careful and watch for those, because I'm always amazed at this time of the year. I get a lot of calls from people who have bees that are inside their house or someplace
you talking
where
about
they
the water
shouldn't
bees?
Be. Now, the bees, they come out and they'll light on a tree, get on a limb, and you be watching for them this time of the year. And you call a beekeeper, I'll swoop in there and I'll pick up the bees before they cause you any trouble. So that's something that we need to be aware of. This time of the year is swarm season.
Here's a listener who's asking a question. Said, I'm interested in becoming a beekeeper. It's been fascinating always. Do you have to have certain bits of equipment to wear to make it safe? And if so, how do you get that? Is that costly?
Yes, you will have to have safety equipment, gloves. You have to have headgear, keep the bees out of your eyes and ears and so on, and a jacket. So, and some people like a full-fledged, you know, from toe all the way to head that they would have. And you order those. You can go online almost anywhere. That's probably the least expensive items that you would need. So go online and you can find that. And there are a lot of catalogs that you can order this kind of big equipment from. And I would say that Amazon or any of those, you could probably pick up that type of equipment very inexpensive.
Another person's asking about the swarms, and they're saying, could you get a swarm and put it in your own hive box to start your bee collection?
You could, but make sure that you know what you're doing. It's not one of the easiest things that you would do in catching a swarm.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, most people wouldn't. So if you're inexperienced, you've never done that before, don't try. Now, what you might do if you know a beekeeper that lives close to you, ask that beekeeper if he wouldn't catch one for you and give it to you. Most beekeepers will do that. Now, I'm not going to drive 40 or 50 miles to capture a swarm. So try to get a beekeeper close to you that would be willing to catch that swarm for you. Put it in a box and leave it there at your house. So that is a good idea. But the thing that I'm pointing out is you want to, those swarms, they usually come out and they land in a tree on a limb somewhere, and that's the time to capture them. Don't wait until they're looking for a place in your house. Now, I used to would help someone who had bees in their house, but that's a long, drawn-out process, and I don't do that anymore, but I do try to give you someone who might want to do that for you. And that is not a free service. All of my services are free. I don't charge anybody for any of the work that I do. But I don't go into houses, because you've got to tear out parts, and you don't know exactly where the bees are, so you've got to determine. I remember a few years ago, I had a friend that had bees in his house. It was a rental house. And I said, well, now I don't do that anymore, but I'll come and look at it and give you an idea. It looked like it was just going in under some siding, but I could tell they're going way back. It's a two-story house, and they got in between the first door and the second story. Now, I had a friend at that time that does that kind of work. By the way, he moved out of state, and I called him in, and he finally found where they were, and they had to tear out the ceiling to get bees out of there. Well, once you tear out the ceiling, somebody's got to put that back. So that's a long process. This week, I believe it was yesterday, I had a gentleman that called me. He had bees in under a hot tub. Well, I've done that before, and that's a long process of getting under that hot tub and getting those bees out. You nearly have to have a bee vacuum to get them all out of there. And if you don't get that queen, you've got some real trouble. So I turned that down, but I did suggest who he could call maybe to help him out to get in there and get those out. And Bart, I might point out, now what is happening and when you have bees that are in places they shouldn't be? First of all, it's illegal to kill bees in our state. So you've got to get somebody to help you with that. So, and I'm very mindful of trying to find people who are willing to trap them out. Like if you trap them out, that could last for 6 or 8 weeks before you'd get them all out of there, and especially the queen. So it's a long, drawn-out process that people don't really realize what you're getting into, and it is a charge for doing that.
So if you're wanting to start a beehive and you're wanting to move a swarm that is in some location, you got to get the box first.
Yes.
And I understand that the co-op has some of this equipment.
Yes, they do, and we have a bee supplier out at Las Casas. And they also provide that kind of supplies, and they're really good. And I would suggest that anybody that was looking for equipment to go out there and take a look at it and compare prices, because it can be a big difference.
You start with a box, is that it?
That's right.
A specially made box.
Yes.
So if you have a hive that is attached to your tree, you got to have a box first. So the person who knows what they're doing moves the hive. Mm-hmm. How do you move this? And how many bees are in a hive?
Well, you're looking at probably anywhere from 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 bees.
Wow.
in a swarm.
A swarm, okay.
Yeah. All right, you're talking about the box. It's not only the box. You've got to have a bottom board, you've got to have a top board, and then you've got to have a top on that. And inside that box, you've got to have frames and foundation. So it's a little bit more demanding than what you would think. Now most of my equipment, I like to have it made by a good craftsman, and I go to Robert Burns out in the Rockville community, and I put an order in, and I'll go out there and pick it up. He makes it by hand. He makes all of that himself. And it's quality. It'll last for years. So I do try to find somebody that's willing to, has a shop that's a really good in making things to make that for me. And it probably come out a little less expensive than what you would go to a supplier and buy it. But you know, when you get that, somebody like Robert Burns, you know that he's going to have the top-notch wood in there that's going to last for a long, long time, because this is a pretty good investment. You start buying things that cost you $200 or $300, you want it to last for a while.
Here's another question. This one's from listeners asking, how do you know you have the queen? I mean, they all look pretty much the same, don't they?
No, the queen... The queen is a lot larger than your worker bees that you have. So the queen she looks more like a wasp. She's that large. So, sometimes if you're not used to it, you've got all these thousands of bees that are in there. And if you're not used to recognizing a queen, it is kind of hard. So that's a skill that beekeepers have to learn to develop. I know, I've got a friend that calls me quite often. He thinks that there's not a queen in there in his box. I helped him catch a swarm not too long ago, and he's looking at it. The first thing I ask him, did you see any brood in there? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of brood. Well, if you find brood, more than likely you've got a queen. So, especially on a swarm that you've just caught. So, even if you don't see the queen and you've got brood in there, more than likely you've got a queen. You just didn't see him. You don't have that skill. It takes a skill. I'll be the first to admit, I've looked over and over bees before, and it took me a while before I could pick up on where I was seeing that queen.
Here's a person who says, do you know by hearing the bees that they're in your house, or do you just know by seeing them?
The first thing that a homeowner will do is they'll see these bees going in and out of a little hole somewhere in their house.
So it's a whole lot of bees,
yeah,
you see.
It's a whole lot of bees out there. So if you got bees in your house, you'll know it. Okay. You'll see them. All they need is just a little crack somewhere, and they can get into your house. And that's what you want to prevent that from happening. And now, if the bees are way up high, they're not causing any problems, more than likely they're not going to stay there more than a year or so. So they'll be out of there. And I've advised people, well, give it a little time and see if they die out or if they leave. Now, the thing you need to understand is honeybees have to be managed now. Used to, you didn't have to manage them. But if you don't manage them, they die out on you very quick. So that's one of the things you run into where you have these bees that all of a sudden show up inside your house. If they're not bothering you, they're not bothering anything, they're way up high, and you wouldn't even notice them. A lot of times I advise people just wait and see, you know, and a lot of times they do die out. But as soon as they are out of there, you better patch up that hole, because bees have like another swarm, they have a way of being able to know that there's a swarm that came through there, got into that house, or in that same place, and they'll come there again. They follow each other for some reason.
So is this the reason? I know a few years ago we had a shortage of bees, or it seems like they were declining in population. You said that things have changed, and if you don't work with the bees, they will die out.
Yeah.
What caused that change?
Okay. A few years ago, when you heard about all of the bees that were dying out, they were talking about these bees that you put on 18-wheelers and move them into big farms. Those are the ones. It stresses them out, and they get viruses quicker that way and other things that bother them. So those were the ones that were really dying out. The beekeeper like myself, a small beekeeper, you know, I've got about 10 hives. Those were not the ones we were losing. But it was a problem with the farmers who need the pollination service. They were losing those, and we're not seeing the kind of pollination that honeybees provide for those farmers.
So those farmers were needing bees to pollinate whatever they were growing?
Yeah, whatever crop they had.
And then they would bring the bees in by an 18-wheeler.
Yes.
Big number of bees.
They would have 200 or 300 hives of bees on one 18-wheeler. And they move it into, like if it's strawberries, the bees will work those strawberries as long as there's nectar. Then what the farmer wants you to do then is move it to the next crop, which could be watermelons or cantaloupes, whatever they had that they wanted to pollinate. They would go there, and that's what the honeybees do. They don't jump from crop to crop. They will stay on that crop until the nectar is gone. And that's what the farmers want, because they know that is being pollinated. And if you pollinate those crops, they're going to be 100% better than if you just rely on other pollinators. And I'll first admit there are other pollinators, but there's not any of them out there near as good as honeybees. And that's why they are so valuable.
Zane Cantrell is our guest this morning from the Rutherford County Beekeepers. Stay with us, and if you have any questions yourself, we're taking questions, as you hear. Text them to us, 615-893-1450. We'll be right back, 615-893-1450. By the way, the next meeting of the Rutherford County Beekeepers, Monday night, June 3rd. 7 o'clock over at the Lane Agri Park. Monday night, June 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Lane Agri Park. Zane Cantrell will be back.
The Wake Up Crew, Swap and Shop, Action Line, The Roundtable, Rutherford Issues. We are keeping it local weekday mornings here on News Radio WGNS.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Most of us know to buckle up to protect ourselves in the car. Did you know you can offer your pet the same type of protection with a Ruffland kennel? This time of year, we usually look to vacation. If you're traveling with your pet, keep them safe in a Ruffland kennel. Here at Animal City, we are a Ruffland dealer. Come in and see us and get your pets some protection. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans. And now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Jace Vinson is our birthday winner this morning. Jace Vinson. He wins that delicious banana pudding from our friends at Slick Pig Barbecue. And our good neighbor of the day today, receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flower Coffee and Gifts. That winner today is Trey Holmes. Trey Holmes, always friendly and always has a smile. That's good to hear. We have baseball this morning. If you were tuned in last night, the Storms got the best of both Conference USA as well as Spring Fling. We're going to resume that MTSU game that had three outs left. And that was stopped by the Storm last night at Conference USA. We'll resume that at 8:55 this morning, just a little while from now. And then we'll resume the game with Stewart's Creek and Henry County. That's coming up as soon as we finish the MTSU game. We'll go to Stewart's Creek and Henry County. And if they win, they will play again at 11 o'clock. So going to have some great games this morning right here on WGNS starting at 8:55. Zane Cantrell is our guest this morning from the Rutherford County Beekeepers. And again, they're meeting the first Monday, 7 o'clock in the evening, and the first Monday for June is June 3rd. That will be here before you know it. We're talking with Zane about some of the things you do if you get a hive, a swarm in your house. Or if you see one on the trees outside, you'll see it easily, I guess.
Yes, oh yeah, they're about the size of a big basketball. Okay. You'll know that they're there. Just be aware of it. And I know you were talking about athletics. I don't know if you've noticed recently at a couple of our athletic events that swarms showed up.
You're
one
kidding.
Of them at they were at a playing. Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
A baseball stadium. People, the bees were coming in and they were lighting, but they would come across people, you know, they're staggered as they come in, and people were slapping at them. And that's the worst thing to do, is start slapping at a honeybee. If you just leave him alone, they won't bother you. But if you start doing that, they're going to start stinging. So there were a couple of events where that happened. They had to stop the vents and call in a beekeeper to come and get those bees out of there. And in those cases, that beekeeper had a bee vacuum, and he vacuumed them all up, which is the quickest way if you're at a vent like that. I don't normally do that. I've got a bee vacuum, but I don't normally do that unless there's some kind of problem. Like if it showed up at an athletic event, yeah. Of course, that's what I would do.
And you said, how many bees in a swarm?
Well, it depends, but some of them are really large. It'd be as many as 10,000 bees.
So you'd notice that.
Yeah, but normally you're looking at 4,000 or 5,000.
That's still a lot of bees.
Yeah, that's still a lot of bees.
Now, back to this thing with the farms. You mentioned that when you bring them in by the 18-wheelers to work over a farm and do the nectar and what have you, pollinate the plants, whatever the farmer's planting, if you've said that they were not doing as well afterwards, is that because people were not getting honey from them? They were just out pollinating and the honey was not being gleaned?
Well, there were two or three things that we were looking at it scientifically on what was happening to those bees. As I mentioned before, it stresses a bee every time you move them, a hive. So you pull them into the field, and you have to remember that a lot of these crops, they've put a poison on it, okay? So to keep insects away. Well, a honeybee is an insect. So they pick up that as well. Not a lot of it, because they don't do that while the bees are there. So they pick that up, that insecticide, and they carry it back in small quantities. And that was another one of the reasons. Now, it may not kill the forager, but it will certainly kill the queen, because what they bring back to that hive is what they're feeding that queen. And a queen is more susceptible to that kind of thing. So that was another thing that was happening to him. So, you know, it was where in my case, I'm not moving my bees around. That's not what I do. And I try to keep them avoided getting into any insecticides out there. Now, I know that a lot of people are spraying their yards for mosquitoes. And I know that these folks who sell that service, that's how they make the living. But the truth of it is, it doesn't get rid of your mosquitoes unless everybody within a mile or so sprays for mosquitoes. So even if you remember, cities stopped doing that because it wasn't getting rid of them. That's not the way to do it. So if you want, I know that there are a lot of places like Holden Hardware that really sells a good substance to get rid of mosquitoes in your yard. And that's what you ought to do instead of spraying for mosquitoes. Now, that kills the mosquito that's there right then, but it also kills your foraging bees that come in, and butterflies and other things. So there are ways to get rid of the mosquitoes and not killing your foragers.
Are people learning that, and have we seen a turnaround in the production of honey?
Well, right now also is a high honey production. It's always in April, May, and June. That's when you have your highest production of honey. Nectar is the highest. We call that the high nectar season. And if your bees don't make enough to share with yourself, then you won't have it, because after June, there's just not enough nectar out there for them to get enough in there except for them to live off of the rest of the summer. Now, there is another time, usually October, early October, that you'll have a honey flow. But that's not always guaranteed. But you can always have a honey flow in the spring. And that's what we most of us count on in getting our honey that we will have. The bees, they're the only creature that makes enough for themselves and enough for humans to have. But they've got, what you've got to understand is that a lot of folks don't realize it, but it's April, May, and June. If they don't make honey then, you won't have any to pull from them.
So are you seeing a good return right now?
Right now I am, and I'll tell you why. We're getting a lot of rain, and what happens? When you get the rain, the nectar decreases. It goes down. But just after the rain, then it comes up again. So we have about every 3 or 4 days, we have rain, which washes away the nectar, but the nectar comes back stronger. So that's really a good thing to have all this rain. And the way we're having it now, I suspect we'll have the honey flow all the way into June, maybe all the way through June this year. But I notice I'm putting my extra hive boxes on my bees right now because every week they're filling them up. So this is a good honey flow for us.
So are you having to move the bees to another box? Is that what you're doing?
No. I put another box on top of them
once they
get the other ones filled up.
And they move up to that other box?
Yeah, they'll move up there and fill it up. So it's a continuing process this time of the year. We call those supers. So we put that super on top of them. It's just another box with the frames and foundation in it, and they fill that up. And in my case, I have foundation left over from last year, so I put that in there with them, and they don't have to make new comb. The comb is already there, so all they have to do is go out and get the nectar and fill it up. Now, I will put maybe three frames of new foundation in each one of them, but the rest of them, I only use 9 frames, so the rest of them are already filled out and already waxed, so they don't have to make that.
Okay, so if you are wanting to get honey, some fresh honey, local honey, where you can reduce your hay fever, pollen, not pollen, but sneezing, whatever, you need to get some farm fresh honey from near you, and right now is a good time. The farmers markets up on the square,
yeah.
Lane Agri Park, Smyrna Depot, yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah, I noticed that there's one guy up on the market on Saturdays that has honey. And for myself, I would not pull any honey this time of the year. That would interfere with their gathering because you don't want to interfere with them while they're gathering nectar. You have these bees are out there getting that. So you don't pull any. So most of the honey that you see this time of the year is last year's honey. Well, there's not anything wrong with that as long as you know the beekeeper and you know that person is close to you. Now, the beekeeper up on the square, I think he lives in Woodbury. He has over 300 hives, he tells me.
Wow.
So he has them some in Rutherford County and some in Cannon County. So, but you want to get honey as close to where you live as you possibly can, and especially if you're getting it for allergies. And now, the plants close to you is what's causing your allergies. Now, it won't cure it, but it will help it. I'm told by a lot of doctors. They do recommend that. Now, if you have diabetes, you need to check with your doctor because honey is got a lot of sugar in it. Not granulated sugar, but it is still high and sweet stuff. So you need to check with your doctor before you do that.
Okay. So word to the wise, head over and get some. But it's last year's honey that you'll be getting more than likely. And is it possible to get bad honey that's too old? How do you know if you have old honey that's too old?
Well, I always advise my customers, if you don't know your honey and you don't know how to recognize it, you better know your beekeeper. So that's just don't go out there and buy just anything. And I'd like to tell you that all honey is the same, but it's not. All honey is not the same. Try to get honey close to you. Try to get honey from a beekeeper that you know. The honey that I put out, I don't have a lot of honey that I can sell, but I do have a little bit. And mine is pure, raw honey. It has no sugar water in it. It has nothing in it except pure nectar honey, and it's raw. You don't. That's what you want for the best results, for the best taste, and for the that's really good kind of honey. Now, you can go to the grocery store and other places and buy it, and I wouldn't even recommend that you do that.
Zane Cantrell is our guest this morning. We'll be back in just a moment and wrap it up because we'll be going to MTSU for Conference USA. And as you heard earlier, if you don't know your honey, know your honey beekeeper. Okay. If you don't know your honey, know your beekeeper. And if Zane says it's so, it's so. I don't know where I heard that.
This is Chip Walters, and I'll have Middle Tennessee football and basketball games for you right here.
MTSU Sports on WGNS AM, FM, online.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your clothing, gift, pet, any needs that you have for your lawn, garden, and also don't forget anything you need for your farm. Please come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op.
Where are you located?
985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Do you have to be a member to shop here?
You don't have to be a member with us to shop.
The Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Zane Cantrell has been our guest this morning on the Action Line. Before we leave, let's touch on some vital things. First of all, the next beekeeper meeting is right around the corner. And Zane, what do people need to do to be there?
You just need to show up. You don't need to register. We welcome anybody. You don't have to be a member of the Rutherford Beekeepers Association. We love to have anybody here. And let me also point out that the Tennessee Beekeepers Association conference is going to be at MTSU October the 11th and 12th. And that is going to be really fantastic. We've got beekeepers from all over the state of Tennessee that will be coming to MTSU. It's going to be in the Student Union Building, which is a great facility for this. We'll have a number of suppliers of bee equipment there, and you can usually get it at a discounted cost. So that just to come and look at all of the equipment that these suppliers have would be worth it. Now, there is a registration fee for that, but it's minor. It's not very much. So you can register when you walk up. You can register walking up. Or you can go online at the Tennessee Beekeepers Association website and pre-register if you'd like to do that. But again, you don't have to be a member to be there, but it's probably be economically sound for you to go ahead and join the Tennessee Beekeeper Association at least for 1 year to see if you're interested in it. But that conference is going to be outstanding. We'll have outstanding speakers, people that have are professors at universities and throughout the United States that will be there presenting their vision on beekeeping. And also we'll have for beginner beekeepers, we'll have a beginner's beekeeper course that you can register for there.
October 11th and 12th.
Yes, 11th and 12th of October.
So it would be wise for new beekeepers or beekeepers who are thinking about getting more involved to at least be at this meeting coming up for the local beekeepers, Rutherford County Beekeepers, on June 3rd, which is the first Monday in June.
That's the Tennessee Beekeepers Association.
Okay.
And we'll have beekeepers from all over the state of Tennessee that'll be here for those 2 days. And for those who are interested in getting more involved, just a reminder, we will have a beginner's course that will be taught there. And you can take that, and also you will be able to go to all of the general meetings.
Okay. Again, the Rutherford County Beekeepers meet the first Monday of each month, and this coming month, that'll be Monday, June the 3rd, 7 o'clock in the evening at the Lane Agri Park. So you need to be there. Now, before we leave, you mentioned that the hives are just starting to flow right now, but that honey that is starting to flow will not be available until later in the year.
Yes.
What you're buying now at the farmer's market is last year's.
Probably last year's, but that's all right, as long as you know the beekeeper. Now, if I have 300 or 400 hives, it probably wouldn't bother me to go into a couple of those hives and get some early honey right now. So that would be an exception. I wouldn't do that with mine because I wouldn't want to interrupt their honey flow that they would be bringing in.
So that would create an issue?
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah. Now, sometime late June or early July, I'll start pulling my first supers that's got their honey in it. So sometime, I'd say around the middle of July, I'll have plenty of honey. But it won't last but a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So people who want it better get on the phone at that time and start calling me let me know that they want some. Most of it it's already pre-ordered. People wanted it, especially at church. And my son lives in Nashville. He's got a bunch of people that are already calling him wanting honey this year, and he comes up and gets 3 or 4 cases of honey and carries down there to them. So people in Nashville knows about it, and I've had people to tell me that I had never even met before. You know, I bought some of your honey from your son, and it is the best honey that I've ever tasted.
So get your honey, make your connections, and this is the time to start getting those connections strong.
Yes.
Zane, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, and any time that you need to talk about beekeeping and bees and honey and this sort of thing, I'm always available. Thank you for having me.
And the swarms are out there swarming, and the honey is starting to flow.
Yes, there is. Watch out for those swarms. Don't let them stay too long.
Zane Cantrell, our guest this morning from the Rutherford County Beekeepers. Zane, thanks again. Stay with us. MTSU coming along next. We're going to be rejoining the game last night in the Conference USA. Only 3 outs left in that game. We'll be joining that, and immediately after that game, we'll be picking up the Stewart's Creek and Henry County softball game. If they win, they'll play again at 11. So it's going to be a whole morning of fun right here on your good neighbor station.